103 years ago, a rebellion in the Chinese city of Wuchang helped ensure the victory of a general uprising against imperial rule. Revolutionaries had been making bombs in Wuchang, one which accidentally went off. That set off an official investigation that uncovered an anti-government plot. The plotters staged a coup to avoid capture and were soon supported by more than a dozen provinces. VOA's Dave DeForest asked Professor Ed McCord of the George Washington University why Wuchang became such an important site in the rebellion against the Qing dynasty.
The reason why it happened in Wuchang is somewhat accidental, in the sense that there was a revolutionary group organizing and it was discovered and they decided to go ahead and revolt rather than face execution.
What was the reason for their revolt? What were they unhappy about?
Actually, a lot of different things. I think the essence of it, though, was a feeling that the dynasty, the Qing dynasty, really had failed to reform China in a way to make it strong. It was facing a lot of pressure from foreign powers. It was losing territory. It was losing national sovereignty rights. And all the efforts the dynasty had done to try to overcome that had basically failed. And so there was a basic dissatisfaction with the dynasty. But a turning sense also that maybe the problem was the imperial system itself, that China was no longer suitable in a modern era to be ruled by a system of government really that had roots in several thousand years old, and they needed something more modern. And then finally, also, there was an element of ethnicity in this as well, because the ruling dynasty was not Chinese. It was a invading group that invaded China in the mid-17th century. And so there was some sense of, true or not, that the dynasty was not really looking after the best interests of the Chinese people.
What was it about the particular Wuchang uprising that cemented the victory of the rebels?
One of the important facts about Wuchang is that the military was behind it. So I think this is, there were rebellions everywhere, but why it succeeded was because it had a large base in the military. They have a large number of revolutionaries that actually worked within the military forces in Wuhan. That's the joint city of Wuchang, Hankou, and Hanyang, which make up the center of Hubei. And they actually turned a lot of the soldiers into revolutionaries. So when it was time to have the revolution, it wasn't a small group. It was a fairly large group. And so that has something to do with it. But it's also a matter of timing. The rebellion happened right at the moment when there was this increasing pace of dissatisfaction with the dynasty. So they kind of were able to take advantage of a base of power and also then a widespread dissatisfaction.
What was the outcome of the overall Xinhai Revolution? Of course, it was the forming of a republic. How did that all work out?
Well, the goal, of course, was to create a kind of a democratic, reform-minded government that was going to lead China to greatness and strength, was the goal still today in China. And that didn't work out too well. Part of the problem was they were very concerned that if the revolution went too slow, the foreign powers might intervene to keep the dynasty in power. And so basically they made a compromise that anybody who says, I'm willing to overthrow the dynasty, you're a revolutionary. You're on our side. And we'll worry about what we're going to do with the government after it's all over. And I think sometimes because it ultimately failed, it degenerated into warlordism as different military forces battled out different constitutional issues, and the whole thing kind of collapsed. It was a Republican name only. But that still doesn't end, it doesn't say it wasn't important. It really reflected, I think, a very strong and growing demand among the Chinese people for democracy, that they have some say in their government. That went back at least a decade, but the reformers of the time really found it in basic Chinese ideas of politics, and they always felt that their rulers had to operate for the benefit of the people. This was the concept of the mandate of heaven, and heaven gave rulers the right to rule, but they gained that right to rule because they worked for the benefit of the people. So there was an essential democratic element in Chinese political philosophy that was very deep.
Sounds like Hong Kong.
Yes, indeed. Actually, the revolutions were very strong in Hong Kong. One of the leaders of the revolution, Sun Yat-sen, did a lot of organizing in Hong Kong, and he found a lot of support there. So there's a deep tradition in Hong Kong itself in favor of democracy, even though it was a British colony at that time.
Edward McCord is an assistant professor of history and international affairs at the George Washington University here in Washington. He spoke with VOA's Dave DeForest.